This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show. We've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio for you. It fits in nicely with the Halloween season. We'll start off today with another episode of Suspense, written by Lucille Fletcher. She wrote Sorry, Wrong Number and The Hitchhiker, episodes you've heard know if you're a fan of suspense. This one's titled Dark Journey. It first aired April 25th, 1946. Then we'll hear a quick Believe It or Not and Remarkable Woman. We'll finish off today's show with a little Halloween-inspired episode of Boston Blackie. It's titled The Ghost of Florence Newton. It first aired May 28th, 1947. But first, here's Suspense.
Now, Roma Wines. R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. Roma Wines presents Suspense.
Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Miss Nancy Kelly and Miss Kathy Lewis in Dark Journey, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear.
Suspense. Radio's outstanding theater of thrills is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live, to your happiness and entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now a glassful would be very pleasant as Roma Wines bring you Nancy Kelly and Kathy Lewis in the premiere of Lucille Fletcher's radio play for two actresses, Dark Journey. Tonight's study in Suspense.
Today I am going on a journey. I am going to see Anne Brody again after 15 years. When the news came yesterday, terrible as it was as though a shadow had lifted from my life. A secret horror that I could never quite forget. I have been afraid of Anne Brody now for 15 years. But there is no need to be afraid of her anymore. Secret has been locked in my heart together with all shameful, horrible things. Yet I've never gone on a journey like this one but what it comes back. There have been times when I couldn't bear the whistle of a train flung out long and mournful over the lonely countryside. I couldn't bear the smell of a day coach, the feel of the plush seats, the rattle and bustle. Only because everything came back. Every detail of that long and terrible weekend we spent together 15 years ago.
Oh, Alice. Alice, we're all. Thank goodness.
I don't think anybody saw us, do you?
No. Only old Mr. Hodges, the station master, and he's no gossip.
I wouldn't want anybody to know. Not that I care, but you know how the tongues wag in this town.
Well, it's much better to be perfectly sure of your plans before you pass the word around. Then if you and Clyde don't settle things, well, nobody will be any the wiser.
If we don't settle things, well, there's no if about it, but Clyde and I are practically engaged.
Did you get his letter yet about us coming to New York?
Uh-huh.
Well, for goodness sake, why didn't you tell me? What'd he say?
Oh, nothing much. He's no letter writer, just that he was glad and that he's been busy, and he's going to call us at the hotel.
Oh? He can't meet us at the train?
No. It seems it's his mother's birthday, and he promised to take her to lunch in town. We'll be getting in just around that time. He's terribly devoted to her, you know, has been ever since his father died.
Oh, I see. You're very much in love with him, aren't you, Anne?
Terribly.
Yet you really see him so little. How long has it been now? 3 months?
3 months and 6 days. But it doesn't really matter.
No.
I know Clyde loves me, and I love him. There's a bond between us. and nothing will ever break it.
Well, as long as you feel that way, it's a wonderful way to feel. I don't think you ought to let it drag on like this much longer, Anne. I really don't.
Oh, don't worry. We'll settle it this time once and for all. You'll see. When we get on this train again, I'll be wearing his engagement ring on my finger. By now.
No, he's probably tied up with his mother. Come on, let's go down to the drugstore and have a sandwich. Aren't you just starved?
No, I don't feel hungry. You go, though. I'll wait.
Oh, come on. The clerk will take the message for
you. No, I want to be here myself.
Well, why don't you call him?
I can't if he's at a restaurant.
Well, maybe he didn't go. Maybe he's home, sick, or at the office.
No, it wouldn't look right. He's got to call me. I don't know why he doesn't.
I don't know why either. In fact, why couldn't we all have had lunch together at that restaurant? I mean, he's not exactly poor, is he? Don't you want to take a bus ride or see the sights or anything?
Later, Alice. After he's called.
Hello?
Yes? Oh, yes, this is Miss Anne Brody. What? He left a message. Oh, thank you.
What is it?
He stopped by and left a message. He has a previous engagement. A previous engagement when he knew I was coming to New York this weekend only to see him.
Well, maybe it was something he couldn't get out of, maybe on account of his mother.
But he already gave her today. And after all, he knew I was coming. He knew I'd want to be with him every possible minute.
Well, maybe that's the trouble, Anne. Maybe he doesn't want to be pinned down. Maybe you expect too much.
But he was right here in the hotel, and he didn't even... Oh, he's grown away from me. He's not mine anymore. Alice, you know what Clyde has meant to me these 3 years, how I've lived for him and worshipped him. It's just as though my world has been cut away. It's like having a lump of ice for a heart. Alice, Clyde is my heart. Oh, I've got to see him. I've got to tell him.
Oh, Anne, dear, wouldn't you like to lie down?
No, I can't lie down. I'm free to sit here in this chair by the window. I wish you'd go, Alice. I want to be quiet. You think and think about him.
Anne, I wouldn't.
Something's happened to him. There's some barrier. I've got to wish it away, to break it down.
What are you talking?
I can do it, you know. Anne, please go. Please.
Oh, my gosh. Don't tell me it's 9:00. I didn't mean to sleep so late. We better get up and get breakfast.
Alice, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He hasn't called me. I haven't slept.
Why don't you call him, Anne? Call him and have it out with him once and for all.
No, I couldn't.
Well, maybe there's something bothering him. Maybe it's some family situation. After all, his mother didn't have lunch with you yesterday. Maybe there was a reason.
What reason could there be except that she didn't want to meet me? She doesn't want him to marry anybody. She wants him all to herself.
Well, isn't that enough to upset any fellow? Oh, come on. We'll get to the bottom of this thing. What's his number? I'll get it for you.
I haven't his number. I never called him at home. But his address is 3254 Sunset Drive, Riverdale, New York.
3254 Sunset Drive, Riverdale, New York. Hello. Hello, operator. This is room 351. We want to put in a call to Riverdale, New York. 3254 Sunset Drive, Riverdale, New York. The name is Dexter. Mr. Clyde Dexter. Will you get it for us, please?
What did she say?
She's looking at us. There it is. She's ringing. Here, you better take it now.
Oh, no. No, just 1 minute. 1 minute. Let me get my breath. Let me think of what I'm going to say. Hello? Is this the Dexter residence? This is Miss Anne Brody speaking. I wonder if I might speak to Mr. Clyde Dexter, please. thank you. Clyde? Oh, Clyde, this is Anne. Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Oh, Clyde, I've been waiting here at the hotel for you to call, and Alice and I have to spend the morning out, and we thought we'd better let you know we wouldn't be in just in case you wanted... Oh, yes, Clyde, I know you said you had a previous engagement, but I thought... Well, you see, Clyde, I'm only going to be here today, and we get to see each other so little, I was wondering... What's that, Clyde? Yes? Yes? Well, no, I didn't. What did you say, Clyde? I didn't understand. You're what? Oh, Clyde. Oh, Clyde, it's not true. It can't be. But, Clyde, wait. But, Clyde, you can't do this to me. I've considered myself engaged to you.
Anne, give me that phone.
No. Oh, no. I just want to say goodbye to him. Please.
No. Anne, don't look that way.
What did he say?
He told me he's engaged to marry a New York girl this September.
Oh, Anne. Well, he just isn't worthy of you. He couldn't have been if he treats you like this now.
I love him. I love him. I'll love him till the day I die.
Anne, I'm sorry.
Oh, please, Alice, please, don't talk. Don't come near me or go away, will you, just for a little while?
No, I won't leave you. I can't leave you when you look like that.
Go away, I said. Oh, do you hear me? Go away. I want to be alone. I want you to go away. I have work to do.
Work to do?
I'm going to will him to come back to me. I'm going to make him come to this hotel through heaven and hell. And they're dragging him away from me.
Oh, Anne.
I can do it. I've done it before. I've made him write to me. I've made him call me up out of a clear sky after months and months. I willed him to speak to me the very first time I saw him when he was just a stranger. I willed him to give me his fraternity pin last year at the spring dance, and I can do it. I can do it. If only I try hard enough, and if you're absolutely quiet. Clyde. Clyde. It's no use. He's too far away. I'll have to come closer to him. We're going out.
Going out? Where to?
To Riverdale.
Riverdale?
I want to look at his house to see where he lives. There's something there. Someone who's holding him back.
Anne, let's go back to Denford. Let's take a train tonight, any train, and get out of here for good.
No, I can't go home. I told you that before. I can't until I have his engagement ring on my finger.
Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you Nancy Kelly and Kathy Lewis in Dark's Journey by Lucille Fletcher. Roma Wines' presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Between the acts, this is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines with a little domestic drama. It's happened to you before and will happen again. You're relaxed in your easy chair, coat off, contentedly reading your evening paper. Your wife is probably tidying up after dinner. The doorbell rings. Sure enough, it's guests who just dropped in. Now, famed hostess Elsa Maxwell tells us how she handles these surprise visits. She says, I always keep Roma California Sherry on hand to welcome unexpected guests. Serving Roma Sherry is so simple, you just pour and hospitality reigns. And because Roma is America's favorite wine, you know your guests will enjoy it. Yes, there's no easier way to gain a reputation for gracious hospitality than by keeping Roma Sherry ready for guests. And Roma, America's taste favorite, the wine more Americans prefer, costs no more than ordinary wine. So make a note to get mellow, golden amber Roma sherry tomorrow. Once you try the tempting fragrance and intriguing nut-like taste of Roma sherry, you'll always ask for Roma. That's R-O-M-A, Roma wines. Remember, more Americans enjoy Roma than any other wine.
And now Roma wines bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Kathy Lewis as Alice and Nancy Kelly as Anne in Dark Journey, a play well calculated to keep you in suspense.
We ought to be wandering around here like this. There might be strange men.
Here's the street. Sunset Drive. And there's the house. I've seen pictures of it. I'd know it anywhere. Anywhere.
Oh, Anne, please. This is doing you no good.
Oh, I've dreamed about that house. Dreamed of myself and him living in it together. I've dreamed of our children playing on that lawn and the sound of music inside and our car standing outside.
But it wouldn't mean a thing to you, Anne, if Clyde didn't love you.
I've dreamed of the years we'd spend together. Why, I even named the children. Clyde Jr. and Peter and Charlotte. That's his mother's name. I never liked it, but I was going to call one child that just to please him. And now, what have I got? Nothing. Nothing. It's gone.
Come on. Come on with me, Anne.
Oh, there's a light going on upstairs. Oh, this is his room. I wonder if he's home. Clyde. Clyde. Think of me. Come back to me. Oh, love me, Clyde. Love me. Love me.
Don't, Anne, don't. Somebody might hear you.
Oh. Shadow at the window. Oh, it's Clyde. Oh, no. No, it's someone else. It's a woman. A gray-haired woman. Oh, it's his mother, Alice. Clyde's mother.
I don't think he's home, Anne. Let's go back to the hotel.
No. No, I want to see her. I've heard so much about her. She always turned her nose up at me. He never admitted it, but I knew. He was the only son, and she thought there wasn't anybody good enough. And he was always under her influence, just believed everything she said. I could tell the way he talked. It was always, mother says this and mother says that. I bet it was she who turned him against me. You picked out that New York girl.
Oh, Anne, please, come on. You're just tearing your heart
out. She's up in his room now. She's straightening his thing. She's happy up there. She doesn't care that she's made me miserable. Oh, I can feel it now, Alice. I can feel the barrier in my heart.
Shh, somebody's coming. Let's go.
We're doing no harm. We can stare, can't we, if we wish? Come on. Come on, we'll walk past the house. We'll get fire. We'll go up and ring the bell, and then when she comes down to answer it, we'll ask, is Mrs. Clyde Dexter at home? And then when she asks us who we mean, we'll laugh at her face.
Oh, Anne, you're just beside yourself.
Yes, I am beside myself because I feel it, Alice. He's lost to me as long as she's up there. Oh, I can stand here out here under the trees trying to reach him with every bit of soul I possess, but as long as she's there, as long as she's alive, he'll never be mine again.
Anne, this is terrible. You've got to pull yourself together and get some rest. You've been sitting in that chair now for 3 hours.
Please, don't talk. Just let me alone.
You're working on that willpower thing still, aren't you, Anne? Anne, it makes me awfully nervous.
Be quiet. It's coming. Something's coming. Something's going to happen. I feel it all around.
I'm going to get a doctor if you don't stop.
I feel it. I feel something.
But you're just as white as a sheet. You're shaking all over. I absolutely refuse to let this go on. Do you hear me? You get into bed.
No.
Let me take off
no,
my...
No, no, no. Leave me alone. It's as though there were a big lump being moved off my heart.
as though the ice inside me were going. As though I could cry at last. Oh, it's happened. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you. All right. I'll lie down now. I'll go to sleep.
If you could sleep, you'd feel better. If you just relax.
I've done it, Alice. You'll see. He'll be here in the morning.
Lie down now.
There he is. Didn't I tell you? There's Clyde now. Hello? Yes. Yes, this is room 351. Yes, this is Ann Brody speaking. Yes.
It's Riverdale calling.
Riverdale. Clyde?
She didn't say.
Oh. Hello?
Yes. Yes, I'm Ann Brody.
Why, yes, I am a friend of Mr. Clyde Dexter. Who did you say this is, please?
The police.
The police? Oh, something hasn't happened to Mr. Dexter, has it?
Oh. What?
Yes. Yes, my friend and I were out to the house late this afternoon, around 6 o'clock. Well, yes, I did wear a white hat and a green dress, and she... Oh, but we took the subway, the White Plains Express, on the Interborough line from our hotel. We came back around 7. We just walked past the house 2 or 3 times, but...
Well, what's the matter?
Why are you asking me these questions? No, I haven't seen them. I...
What? Give me the phone and let me speak to them. You're in no condition
Keep
to...
Keep away.
Talk. You know what they're saying, do you? That Clyde's mother has been murdered.
What?
Oh, no. No, I haven't.
Yes?
No. No, we didn't. We just came right home. We didn't even ring the bell. Is Mr. Destiga there with you? I see. Well, I'd like to speak to him, please, when he gets through. Will you ask him to call me? Yes. We'll stay here in the room.
Oh, Anne.
It was a hammer. At 8 o'clock tonight. She was struck from behind by an unknown assailant.
Oh, how awful. Well, why did the police call us? What have we got to do with it?
Clyde was home when we walked by the house. He saw us standing there.
I'm going to tell him, Alice. I'm going to tell him the truth.
Truth?
What truth?
There's always been that power inside me. I've known I had it, and sometimes it frightened me. Things have happened. I've been afraid sometimes to use it, afraid it would turn against me. And tonight it did turn against me.
Anne, what do you mean?
By an unknown assailant. Murdered by an unknown assailant. You know who that assailant was? It was me.
Anne, are you crazy? You were up here in the room every minute.
I was up here in the room, but I was wishing she were dead. I was willing him to come to me. I was trying to destroy the barrier.
Surely you can't believe that, Anne. It was only a coincidence, a terrible coincidence.
I was trying to bring him back, to touch his heart, but the power didn't touch his heart. His heart's like steel against me. It struck his heart and glanced off and struck her dead.
Anne, please, you're talking like a
little... You don't understand. People like you can understand. People like you... But there's violence to will. To store it up takes years. To send it out of yourself is like sending a powerful hand with fingers.
Will can't kill somebody, Anne. Not pure will. The body is one thing, the mind's another. Mrs. Dexter is physically dead. Her heart stopped beating. There was a blow. Somebody real, somebody human did that.
She was struck from behind. She was alone in the house. They said the doors were locked. She had no enemies. It came out of nothing and it went away again.
Oh, I never dreamed. I didn't want it to happen that way, but it's getting beyond me. It's assuming forms and accomplishing ends I don't plan. It's turning against me, Alice. Turning against me.
Do you think a police court will believe you? You'll only confuse the testimony. You'll only hurt Clyde.
Will, you talk about the power of your will. Did you have any real power these last 2 days? Did it bring Clyde to this hotel? Did it make him love you or even call you up?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Don't you touch him.
I won't let you speak to him.
Get away from that phone, Alice.
Do you want to get us in trouble? Do you want us to go to jail and spend weeks in court? He put you there. He wouldn't care.
Get away from that phone, Alice.
I don't believe you, do you hear? I think you're mad. You're mad as a hatter.
Get away from that phone.
No!
Anne, you'll ruin your life. You'll fall into suspicion, and people will always think you had something really to do with it. You'll end up in an asylum. The whole world will know he jilted you.
What are you going to say to him? He must be half beside himself as it is. He'll never believe you.
What's the matter? Can I appeal to you?
What?
All right. Thank you, Alice. You see? It is there, isn't it? I made you do what I wanted. And I can make anyone. Hello? Hello, Clyde. Oh, Clyde, darling, I just heard the terrible news. How terrible for you. I'm so sorry.
Yes, Alice and I were out there this afternoon. We came by to say hello, but we got cold feet and came home. Oh, no, Clyde, no, we didn't. Not a soul. Oh, yes, my darling, I understand how terribly broken up, and my heart goes out to you. Oh, I will, Clyde, dearest, I will. I'll be right over. I'll help you in any way I know. Goodbye, Clyde.
Anne. You didn't tell him. You're not going to tell him at all.
No. Why should I? He's mine now.
And so Anne Brody walked out of my life, walked from me wrapped in her new and terrible strangeness. Somehow I didn't want to play any part in her life again. I didn't go to her wedding when she and Clyde were married 1 year later. To me, there would have been something evil in hearing her voice repeat the sacred word.
I am, take thee, Clyde.
There has been for me a nameless horror in the slow, steady way Anne Brody fulfilled her plans. The house in Riverdale, the car, the three children, Peter, Clyde Jr., and Charlotte. Her happiness, her triumphant motherhood has somehow been hideous to me. I've never heard a train whistle crying through the dawn but what I've thought of her and shuddered. I have been afraid of Anne Brody now for 15 years. Today, I know I've been a fool. Today I know that it was a real murderer who murdered Mrs. Dexter with a hammer from the service porch. Today I'm going on a journey to Riverdale. I am going to see Anne Brody again, lying willless and struck down in her coffin. Lying innocent and pathetic. Lying murdered. Not will, nor nameless monsters of the mind could save her from the truth at last. Yesterday afternoon, the weak, long, brooding creature who could not brook domination from mother or wife flung pent-up death against the mistress of his will. Yesterday afternoon, Clyde Dexter struck again.
Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A. Made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. This is Truman Bradley for Roma Wines with a tip on how to win praise and increase dining pleasure. Today, millions of clever homemakers are enjoying dinner table compliments by giving everyday dishes tempting new meal appeal. Here's the secret. A glass of red Roma California Burgundy at each plate. Try it yourself. Serve robust, Roma Burgundy with tomorrow night's piping hot savory pot roast, tender juicy steak, or baked fish. Roma Burgundy brings a tasty new flavorfulness from every morsel, wins grateful compliments for your cooking. And notice how the warm, glowing redness of Roma Burgundy adds richness and beauty to your table. Yet, the gracious custom of serving Roma, America's favorite wine, is as inexpensive as it is delightful. Enjoy exciting new dining pleasure tomorrow with delicious Roma Burgundy. Insist on Roma, R-O-M-A, Roma wine, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world.
This is Nancy Kelly. I'm sure you want to hear next Thursday's Suspense when Joseph Cotton will star as a famous New York criminal lawyer in one of the best-known suspense stories of our time, Ben Hecht's Crime Without Passion. Thank you.
Nancy Kelly will soon be seen in the Paramount picture Follow That Woman. Next Thursday, same time, Roma Wines will bring you Joseph Cotton as star of Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills.
Produced by William Spear for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California. Next week, part of the country goes on daylight saving time. If your area remains on standard time, tune in Suspense 1 hour earlier. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
In 1798, Sultan Selim III of Turkey, in the presence of British Ambassador Sir Robert Ainslie, shot an arrow the incredible distance of 2,916 feet. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you the story of a remarkable woman. Lucy Page of Tamworth, New Hampshire, certainly exploded the theory that women are the weaker sex. In addition to doing all of her regular housework, she cared for 2 cows, made all the clothing for her family, spun 200 skeins of wool yarn and 45 skeins of linen yarn, wove 90 yards of carpeting, made 69 yards of flannel and 21 yards of toweling. And she did all of this at the age of 73, believe it or not.
Uh-oh, a hitchhiker. And is she pretty? Come on in, young lady. I'm bound for Little Bend, but I'll drop you anywhere you like.
Thank you. You're very kind.
My name is Blackie, Boston Blackie.
I'm Florence Newton.
Want to give me an idea of where you'd like to be dropped off?
I want to go to the farm.
Anyone in particular?
My own farm. The one my father owned.
Uh-huh.
I've been waiting in the creek, and I hope he won't mind.
Well, there isn't much to do out here in the country except go waiting, is there?
No, there isn't.
What do you kids do for excitement? Saturday night dances, movies, that sort of thing?
Yes, that sort of thing.
You're not particularly talkative, are you?
I guess I'm not.
Good guessing.
This is the farm right here. Would you please stop?
Why, sure.
Thank you very much.
No trouble at all. You may have a little trouble with that door on your side. It sticks. Oh, wait right where you are, and I'll go around and open it for you.
Thank you.
Be there in a jiffy. Well, here we are. Now, where did she go? Florence. Florence Newton. That's funny. Maybe she went into the house. Guess I'd better find out. I imagine you must be Mr. Newton, is that right?
Yes.
I just drove your daughter to the door, and when I went to help her out of the car, she disappeared. I thought maybe she came in the house here.
My daughter? What did she look like?
Young, about 21, I'd say. Attractive, brown hair, blue eyes, about so high. She'd been waiting in the creek, and I gave her a lift. Well, what's the matter? Isn't she here?
No, she isn't. You described my daughter all right, but she was drowned in that creek you were talking about 3 years ago.
You're sure it's pure, and it's just as smooth?
Yes, you're sure it's pure. CV's clear, clean taste tells you that and more. From your first sip of the smooth, creamy foam that billows on top of your glass, right down to that last delicious, full-flavored drop, you'll find CV bright and sparkling, light and lively, with the rich, robust, and full-bodied flavor of a real honest-to-goodness beer. A premium quality beer. Premium quality that costs you no premium in price. Our enthusiastic friend, whose voice you just heard, has a special message for those who are not familiar with the beer with the million-dollar flavor. Just listen.
Try it. Just try CV, and you'll agree there is no finer beer. You're sure it's pure, and it's just as smooth. Yes, sir, just as smooth. And now back to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Well, Thompson, I guess you close your case against Butch Heathers tomorrow morning, don't you?
You're going to close it, Inspector Faraday, and get a conviction of murder, too. I've never been as sure of a case since I've been district attorney.
No reason for you to doubt you'll get a conviction in this case. Boston Blackie's going to send Heathers to the chair for you.
I've never known you to be so sure of Blackie before, Inspector. I thought you two didn't even get along.
Oh, we rib each other a lot, but we don't mean it. At least I don't. Uh-huh. I know I can depend on Blackie when I really need him.
Well, I need him this time, Inspector. Blackie says he saw Heathers kill that man. If he repeats that statement in court, that's all I want.
Sure it is. It's all you need. Blackie's word is reliable. When he says he sees something, he really sees it.
Howdy, Blackie. Welcome to Little Bend. This is Harry Oldfield.
Pleasure, Blackie.
How are you, Oldfield? Well, Sheriff, do you have those records on Butch Heathers ready for me?
Sure do. So Butch went to the big city and got himself into real trouble, did he?
He sure did. I want his local record to turn over to the DA.
I knew that boy was no good when I arrested him for stealing Clyde Ransom's shotgun 5 years ago. Well, here's all the dope on him as a local bad boy, Blackie. I made copies so you can have these.
Thanks, Sheriff.
Those records going to send Heathers to the chair, Blackie?
These records plus what I saw, Oldfield. And speaking of seeing things, Sheriff, I saw Florence Newton this morning.
Flo Newton? Well, she's been dead 3 years.
So her father told me.
Blackie, now don't you try to pull that old one on me. I've been hearing for years about people picking up ghosts in every town in this country.
But I did pick up this girl, Sheriff. She said she was Florence Newton, and her father admitted the girl was his daughter when I described her to him.
Blackie, I'm afraid the country air's gone to your head. Better stay in the city where you don't see things.
Look, now look, I don't believe in ghosts any more than you do. But that girl got in my car down by the creek, rode up to the Newton farm with me, and then just disappeared.
Well, Blackie, she acted like a ghost anyhow.
Believe me, Blackie, Flo Newton's been dead for over 3 years.
All right, Sheriff, I believe you. But believe me, I picked up a girl in my car this morning, and she was Florence Newton.
Well, it's possible, Blackie, but... where did you get wings for your car, huh?
Okay, lad, if you want to. When I see things, I see things, and I see I'm not getting anywhere with you. Thanks for the records on Butch Heathers, and so long.
Goodbye, Blackie, and say hello to Miss Newton on the way home, huh?
Goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, well, now, how do you like that, Mr. Oldfield?
Boston Blackie suddenly seen ghosts.
Well, that's some story, Sheriff. You think I could make anybody believe it?
Well, you're a writing man, Mr. Oldfield. Your paper sent you up here to get a story on Butch Heathers, but I think you got a better one on Blackie and the ghost of Florence Newton.
Oh, good morning, Mary. Come on in.
I certainly will. Blackie, have you seen the morning paper?
No, I haven't. I was out of the city yesterday, and I didn't get back to town till early this morning.
I'll say you were out of the city, and out of your mind, too. Look at this newspaper. The whole town's laughing at you.
What for? What if I... Uh-oh.
Blackie, since when do you not only see a ghost, but tell the newspapers about it?
I didn't tell the papers about it, Mary. Hey, wait a minute. That fellow Oldfield in the sheriff's office must have been a reporter.
Oh, fine. Well, you phone that paper right away and get a retraction. Wait till Inspector Faraday reads this. He'll haunt you with it for years.
I can't help that, Mary. I did see that girl. I talked to her. I had her in my car. I took her home.
Fell asleep. You had a dream and talked out of turn to a reporter.
Now, Mary, stop that. If the girl was a ghost, she was a ghost. But she was in my car, and now let's skip it. I have Butch Heathers to worry about today. I'm going to help make a ghost out of him.
Oh, so you can keep seeing him for the rest of your life, too?
Look, let's forget about the ghost of Florence Newton and worry about the trial of Butch Heathers.
I thought no one was worried about it except Heathers. Well, you saw him kill that man, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. And I have some reports on him from Little Ben that should help cinch the case against him. You going to be in court?
I wouldn't miss being there. You're the star witness for the state.
Yes, and when I get in the witness chair, it's going to be another kind of a chair for Butch Heathers.
Order! Order in the court.
Will Boston Blackie take the stand? Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Take the witness chair.
Thank you.
Proceed, Mr. District Attorney.
Thank you, Your Honor. What's your name?
Boston Blackie.
Do you know Butch Heathers?
Yes, I do.
Could you point him out in this courtroom?
Of course, there he is, in that end seat at the first table there, the man wearing the green shirt.
Will you tell this courtroom where you saw Butch Heathers and what he was doing on the night of June 6th last?
Well, I was walking through the alley behind the garage where I keep my car, and I saw Heathers approach a man known as Ellie Spry, pull out a gun, and pump three bullets into him.
Yes.
Then he ran. I chased him, but he got away.
You say you definitely saw Butch Heathers kill Ellie Spry.
That's right. It was definitely Butch Heathers.
Thank you, Blackie. Your witness, Mr. Walters.
Thank you, Mr. District Attorney. Blackie, you say you saw Butch Heathers kill Ellie Spry.
Yes, I did.
You saw the murder committed with your own eyes?
With my own eyes.
Those same eyes that yesterday morning saw the ghost of a girl who'd been dead and buried for over 3 years.
Well...
Order! Order in the court! You did see a ghost on the road to Little Bend yesterday morning, didn't you?
I saw a girl.
You claim you saw Florence Newton, Blackie. The description was perfect. But Florence Newton is dead, isn't she?
Yes, so I understand.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have just heard this man frankly and openly admit that he saw a ghost. Now, we all know there are no such things as ghosts, except in fairy stories and in the minds of people with overdeveloped imagination. Order! Order in the court!
There will be no outburst.
Blackie, Inspector Faraday of the Homicide Department is one of your best friends, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And you'd like to see him send Butch Heathers to the chair, wouldn't you?
I'd like to see the guilty punished.
And you like to see your friends come up in the world, too, don't you? And the conviction of Butch Heathers might get a promotion for Faraday, mightn't it?
He's a good police officer. He's deserved a promotion for a long time.
And you'd like to help him get it, wouldn't you?
I've always helped Faraday whenever I could.
Thank you, Blackie. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, by this witness' own testimony, the facts are clear. There's no proof here that Butch Heather's killed Ellis Fry. This man sees ghosts, so he can see things that don't exist. This man who claims he saw my client commit the murder claims so in an effort to aid and improve the status of the police department friend of his. How can you convict a man on the testimony of a witness such as this? How can you convict a man...
Will the defendant please rise? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. We find the defendant, Butch Heathers, not guilty.
Court is adjourned.
Hey, Blackie!
Oh, hello, Faraday. Well, it looks as if he got away from us.
Yeah, he got away, all right. A great guy you are. I counted on you to help me send this guy where he belongs. But you have to go out and see a ghost.
You don't believe me either, do you?
I'll say I don't. Do you realize what that ghost has done?
Sure, he got into this trial and got Butch Heathers out of a jam. And we can't touch him now. He can't be tried again for the same crime. I know all about that. And I know something about that ghost, too.
Will you stop talking about that ghost?
I'm going to find that ghost and let it do the talking, Faraday. I'm going to find it if I have to follow it to the Happy Horning Grounds.
Light and lively, you bet. Bright and sparkling, yes, sir. And it's just as smooth.
Now, there's a description of CV's flavor that should make you want to pour yourself a glass of champagne velvet right now. When you do, you'll find your taste tempted by the creamy, snow-white foam that billows on top of your glass. And you'll see CV's purity in its pale, clear amber color, a promise of real thirst satisfaction. But don't just look. Taste it. You'll find it, as our enthusiastic friend says, bright and sparkling from foam to finish, with a clear, clean taste that makes you sure it's pure. A premium quality beer made with more costly premium quality materials, premium quality that costs you no premium in price.
Remember, you're sure it's pure. And it's just as smooth. And now back to Boston Blackie. On his way to the country village of Little Bend to get the criminal records of Butch Heathers on trial for murder, Boston Blackie gives a lift to a girl who says she is Florence Newton. Later, it turns out Florence Newton has been dead for over 3 years. Blackie is star witness in the trial against Butch Heathers because he saw Butch commit the crime. But the defense attorney wins an acquittal for Butch on the grounds that a man who sees a ghost can see a lot of things that don't exist. As we return to our story, it is the day following the trial, and Mary Wesley is with Blackie in his apartment.
Blackie, I'm sorry I teased you about Florence Newton. Can't you do something to find her again?
I've tried that, Mary. I drove out to Little Bend again last night and asked everywhere for a girl who might look just like the dead Florence Newton. But no luck.
Well, that's because there was no ghost. Now, will you stop trying to convince yourself there was?
Mary, did it ever occur to you that I never said the girl was a ghost? The girl was real, flesh and blood, real. It was the father and the sheriff and everyone else who said if I saw Florence Newton, I saw a ghost.
Well, you described the girl to Mr. Newton, and he said it was his daughter.
He said it answered the description of his daughter, but that it must have been the ghost of his daughter, if it was anything. Oh, I could just find her again.
I'll help you, but I certainly never thought I'd help you look for another girl.
I'll get Faraday in with us. Maybe we can...
Oh, speak of the inspector, ring the doorbell.
Chances are that he'd rather wring my neck. Come in.
Boston Blackie.
Florence Newton.
What?
Florence, am I glad to see you.
Thanks, Blackie, but...
Blackie, if this girl's a ghost,
I'm... not a ghost, Miss...
Oh, excuse me, Miss Newton, Miss Wesley.
Hello. So you are real, aren't you? Real pretty, too.
Miss Wesley, I came here to explain all about what happened.
It's about time somebody explained something.
To begin with, my name isn't Florence Newton. I'm Vivian Peters, and I was paid $1,000 to play that trick on you.
Who paid you? Butch Heathers?
Yes. He was out on bail, but I didn't know that. Or him. He said it was just a gag.
Mm-hmm.
When I read in the papers this morning that he was acquitted because you said you saw a ghost, well, I realized why I'd been asked to pose as Florence Newton.
That's the best thing you've realized all day, Miss Peters. But you're going to be one of his worst enemies for telling me this, you know.
Why? What have I done?
You've proved my testimony against Butch was correct.
Well, so what, Blackie? Heathers was tried and acquitted for killing Ellie Spry, and he can't be tried again for the same crime.
No, he can't, Mary, but maybe there's some other way to get at him. I'm going down to see Faraday. Miss Peters, did anyone see you come to my apartment?
No, Blackie.
Good. You and Mary stay here till I get back. Everything's going to be all right, unless I'm all wrong.
Come in.
Hello, Wallace.
Oh, Butch, come in.
Thanks.
Well, how's it feel to be a free man?
Great, Wallace, great. You did a good job for me. You're the best lawyer in town.
You didn't kill Ellie Spry. That's why I got you off, Butch.
Yeah. But Blackie had me nailed for that killing till you pried me loose with that business about the ghost. I knew that ghost story would make Blackie sound silly.
What do you mean you knew it, Butch? I didn't know it myself until I saw the papers just before the trial.
I got news for you, Wallace. I give you a little assist in beating a rap the state had on me. I fixed up that ghost.
What are you talking about?
Cost me 1,000 clams, Wallace. Don't worry. We'll come out of your fee.
Wait a minute, Butch. Did Blackie think he was Florence Newton, or didn't he?
Sure he did. It was the girl I hired to say she was Flo Newton and go through the whole routine. Just as Blackie said.
Butch, I hope you're lying.
No, I'm not lying. I'm bragging. That was a pretty smart trick, wasn't it? You see, I knew about Flo dying in that creek a while back because I was living a little bit when it happened.
Get out of here, Butch.
Huh?
You heard me? Get out! I took your case and defended you because I thought you were innocent. Now I know you're not. You did kill Ellie Spry, didn't you?
Is that what the jury said?
No. Because you did something behind my back to ruin Boston Blackie's testimony.
Sure made a mess of it, didn't I?
Laugh if you want to, Butch. Laugh because you know you can't be tried again for killing Ellie Spry. Laugh because you made a fool out of me. But you're a killer, Butch.
Yeah, smart one, though, huh?
Yes, you're smart, all right, but so am I. Legally, you're free, but I'm a lawyer, and I'm going to find some loophole in the law to bring you to justice. Maybe that girl can help me. Maybe she can go to the police and tell them.
Think so, Wallace? She's a ghost, remember? And all a ghost can say is, boo!
Go ahead, Butch. Have a good laugh. Go out and have a good time, too, because you won't be having a good laugh or a good time for very long.
Hey. Who are you calling, Wallace?
The police. I won't be a party to a conspiracy.
I think you better not, Wallace.
You don't frighten me with that gun, Butch.
But you bother me with that phone. Put it down, or I'll knock it down, you...
I think I'd better take that gun. You think so? No, so...
Now I gotta go get another lawyer.
Blackie, get out of my office before you start seeing things in here.
Look, Faraday, will you start seeing things? Will you start seeing how and why I was made to believe I picked up Florence Newton on the road to Little Bend?
I know why you think you picked up Florence Newton on the road to Little Bend. You're a big dope.
You mean I'm a big dupe?
Dope, dupe. What's the difference?
No.
Faraday, that girl's real name is Vivian Peters, and she was hired by Butch Heathers to pose as Florence Newton.
How do you know?
Because she's in my apartment. She told me all about it. Butch hired her when he was out on bail.
Now you're not only seeing crazy things, you're saying crazy things. How would Butch know about the death of Florence Newton so he could rig up such a stunt?
Butch lived in Little Bend. He knew what she looked like, and the records show that he was there when the Newton girl drowned in that creek.
So he was there. So he knew the girl was drowned. So what am I supposed to do now? I can't send Butch Heathers where I want to send him. He can't be tried again for killing Ellie Spry.
I know he can't, but I've got to... Listen. There's your phone, Faraday.
I know it, Blackie. I gotta know something. Faraday speaking.
Inspector Faraday, this is Madeline Wells, Harold Walters' secretary.
Yes, Miss Wells.
Inspector, Mr. Walters has been killed.
What?
He's in his office, dead. He's been shot.
Wait a minute. Blackie, Butch Heather's lawyer has been killed.
I know, I heard her say it.
Stay where you are, Miss Wells.
Yes.
Don't touch anything. We'll be right up.
All right, Inspector.
Well, Blackie, what do you think of that?
It's not what I think, Faraday. It's what I know. Butch Heathers has made another mistake. Only this time, we're going to make it his last.
Oh, no, Blackie. You bungled things the last time I had Butch. Go have yourself some fun in a graveyard. Meet some new ghosts, maybe. You're out of this murder.
I'm out? Oh, no.
You're out, or yes. From here on, I'm handling Butch Heathers all by myself.
You mean mishandling Butch, don't you?
I'm going to surprise you, Blackie. I got an idea. In fact, I've got two ideas.
You'd better get an idea how you can pin the murder of Harold Walters on Butch before you do anything else. We're just guessing he's our man.
He's not our man. He's my man. And I know how I could pin this on him, providing I get no interference from you. I'm going to have you kept here in this office for an hour, so I can have my way, and you can't get in it.
You know, Inspector Faraday, it's a funny thing how many uses you can get out of a fire escape like this.
Mm-hmm.
You can get out of a building on it, hang laundry on it, sunbathe, and sleep on it.
Yeah, and keep quiet on it, too, Muldoon.
All right.
The glass in this window to Butch's room isn't soundproof.
Yeah, but it's sure almost look-proof, Inspector. Why, it's so dirty I can hardly see through it.
I can see enough. I can see Butch in there and the door to the hall.
Are you sure that Peter's girl will do what you told her to do?
She'd better. You know, I'm sort of proud of myself about this.
Yeah?
This is the kind of idea Blackie would get. He's not the only one who's smart.
Well, what if it doesn't work?
What do you expect from Blackie's ideas? Uh-oh, there must have been a knock on the door in there. Butch just got up and walked over to it.
Well, now he can lift up the window a little, huh?
Yeah. Quick, while he's on the other side of the room.
All right.
That's enough. Butch just opened the door.
Is it the Peters thing?
It sure is.
Well, Miss Peters, it took long enough getting here. Come in.
Thanks.
We can hear pretty good.
She phoned and said you wanted to talk to me, sweetheart. Well, what about?
You ought to know what about. I didn't know I was going to save you from the chair when I said I'd play ghost for Boston Blackie.
Well, what you didn't know didn't hurt you too much, did it? You got to breath the country air out of it, too, didn't you?
You got out of a murder rap, Mr. Heathers. And everyone knows you killed Ellie Fry. Blackie's testimony was right, every word of it.
Yeah?
You've made an accomplice out of me, Heathers, and I don't like it.
Oh, you don't?
Well. Yeah, it's too bad.
It's so bad that I'm going to the police.
Oh, I wouldn't do that if I was you.
But you are not me.
Look, I killed Ellie Spry. I got away with it. I killed Harold Wallace, my lawyer. I'm going to get away with that, too. I'd include you in that list in a minute. And don't forget it.
The police will know you killed Walter.
Yeah, they won't even suspect me. Then Wallace just went a case for me. Anybody in this town ought to know that Wallace and I are the best of friends. But don't go to the cops, sweetheart. Won't do you any good, and I wouldn't like it. You understand?
Come on, Muldoon, let's
yes,
go.
I understand.
I've heard all
yes.
I need to hear.
I understand.
All right, then I'll raise the window now.
Who's out there?
No time now. Let's go right through the glass.
All right.
Quick move, Butch.
Cops.
Duck, Miss Peters. There may be shooting.
Yeah, she ain't ducking, but I am behind her. Go ahead, shoot, copper. Hit this dame. See if I can.
No, no, don't.
Inspector, don't shoot. You'll hit the girl.
You mean you kill the girl, don't you? She makes a nice target, doesn't she, Inspector? A nice target, but a better shield.
Don't
Your
shoot.
Pals ought to see you now, Butch. If you were as tough as you claim to be, you wouldn't be holding that girl in front of you.
Cut the talk, pal. Go ahead and shoot, why don't you?
You know I'm not going to shoot.
Polite cop, huh? You don't shoot ladies, huh? Well, you don't shoot me, neither. And you don't catch me. There's a couple of more steps back, and I can reach the door.
You did this all wrong, Inspector.
Shut up. Well, I'm at the door, Faraday. Go ahead and shoot if you want. This is your last chance. So long. So long, copper. Here's your girlfriend. Maybe you'll...
Go to sleep, Butch. Get tired.
Blackie.
Yes, Inspector. Blackie with a blackjack. Are you all right, Miss Peters?
Yes, thank you. I think my aunt's going to be bruised tomorrow.
I think Butch's head is bruised a bit, too. Or maybe this blackjack got the worst of the deal. Faraday, it's a good thing you told the guard to let me go in an hour.
Yeah?
I knew where you were heading and stayed out there in the hall to wait for you. I imagine you heard Heather's confession.
Sure. You heard him admit he killed Ellie Spry and his lawyer.
Yes, and it's a good thing I was outside the door. Faraday, what would you do without me?
I don't know. But I'd sure like to try.
Don't do it, pal.
You're a big man on account of me.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. The morning papers are going to say that Butch Heathers is another of the feathers in your cap.
Premium quality, yes, sir. Premium price, no, sir. There is no finer beer, and it's just as smooth.
And that's saying a lot in a few words, for Champagne Velvet is accepted everywhere as a beer of real premium quality. Here's why. Champagne Velvet's famous formula calls for only the more costly premium quality materials, and CV is made the more costly way. No time saved at the expense of careful brewing. No cost saved at the expense of controlled aging. Aging that brings CV to you at the peak of its famous million-dollar flavor. But CV's flavor tells you all of that. Full-flavored thirst satisfaction, of course. But more than that, CV's clear, clean taste makes you sure it's pure.
Yes, sir. Proved premium quality at no premium in price. You're sure it's pure, and it's just as smooth.
Now here's an example of what's in store for you on next week's Boston Blackie Adventure.
The Relic Radio Show for today. I'll be back tomorrow with more from Case Closed, a new episode of The Horror featuring Peter Lorre and Nightmare. In the meantime, RelicRadio.com's got more old-time radio for you. Links to our blog, forum, listener community, live stream, which hasn't been working, and everything else we have going on. You can also check out our Halloween website at RelicRadio.com/Halloween. Find out more about our special programming this month and some links to the past episodes of it so far. You can email me at relicradio@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.